Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Thursday, the 14th of April, 2011, one day before that tax deadline. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL. We're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We are live weekday mornings from 9 to 10. We re-air the program from 7 to 8. The lineup for today's show includes a lead-off newsmaker interview with Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik, who will be honored this Saturday night with a tribute event. Then we'll talk with the Buckmaster Show science contributor, Dr. David Levy. He'll be talking about the upcoming shuttle launch and all the excitement surrounding that event here in Tucson. At the bottom of the hour, the Dean of the University of Arizona College of Architecture and Landscape Architecture talks about the UA contribution to the downtown redevelopment. Then we talk baseball with Mike Fader. Mike will be here. He's the general manager of the Tucson Padres, Tucson's AAA franchise. They'll be opening up their home schedule tomorrow. Our show is primarily interview-driven, but if you would like to join in, you are more than welcome to call us on the live line at 529-3508. Sheriff Dupnik, good to see you.
Nice to see you. Thanks for inviting me, and I presume that you and I are some of the millions of people in the middle class that still have to pay federal taxes.
We do indeed. We do indeed. And that deadline is very quickly approaching. Sheriff Dupnik's career in law enforcement that spans more than a half a century will be the focus of a tribute dinner sponsored by the Pima County Democratic Party Saturday night at the Hotel Tucson City Center in downtown Tucson. 400 people are expected to attend the event, which will feature a keynote address by Congresswoman Patricia Schroeder of Colorado. Congratulations, Sheriff. Well deserved.
Thank you.
Are you excited?
I am.
Why? Tell us.
Well, when people say nice things to you and about you and do nice things for you, it's nice, you know. Doesn't happen very often in everybody's career, and my career is certainly not in the dawning. Since I'm 75 and I've been doing this, as you say, a long time, so it's very humbling, actually.
What was your first job in law enforcement? Were you a cop?
I was a beat cop in the city of Tucson in 1958.
Wow. And I assume you had one of those big cars and a big radio in the car.
We did. As a matter of fact, my first car was a 1956 Ford. And you didn't even have to use the clutch to shift it, even though we didn't have it was so bad, you know. And the top speed was 45 miles an hour, and black smoke came out when you got it up to that speed. But things were different in those days. We didn't need all the new and fancy equipment, unfortunately, that we need today to try to protect the people as best we can and protect ourselves.
Tell us about this event that is coming up this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Tucson Convention Center. 21 folks from 21 different agencies will be honored by you and your colleagues and the Pima County Sheriff's Department. These are folks who did some really extraordinary things on that horrible day on January the 8th.
You know, I still am in awe when I think back to the afternoon of January the 8th. 30 years ago, if you tried to put 21 agencies together to deal with a very chaotic, problematic scene, it would have been total chaos. But I want to tell you that all the medical people, the medical agencies, the law enforcement agencies, both state, local, and federal, we had several federal law enforcement agencies there, worked together like they have trained together for several years. And they there wasn't one issue that arose. And there were two agencies that had concurrent jurisdiction and responsibility, and that's the FBI, because shooting federal officials is a federal crime. And shooting non-federal issues is a state crime. So we had, as I said, it just went like clockwork, and I was set in awe at these people that were doing their work. So today, we're taking time out to say thank you to all these law enforcement agencies who participated, and we're also going to recognize some of the heroic efforts that occurred at that scene, which, again, just leave you awestruck when you know what they did and how it happened.
So really, in your opinion, everything worked as it should. There's always, of course, room for improvement. Are there some areas that could be improved in the response, or is it pretty much the way you, as you say, you've trained? I know that you do those emergency plans for years. You've been doing those planning.
Boy, let me tell you, I don't know how you could have improved this one iota. The only thing that would be better, and that's going to change because we're going to be one of the first law enforcement agencies in the country because of the generosity of the voters a few years ago that approved our interactive radio system, which is currently in being built. And every law enforcement agency and every medical public service agency is going to be on one system, and that will help dramatically.
Pima County Sheriff is Clarence Dubnik is with us. It's about coming up on 13 minutes past the hour. Let's turn our attention to that new state budget. And you're saying, do we have to, Bill? Pima County will not be getting any state money under that new state budget signed last week by Governor Brewer to fight border crime and gang activity. You took two hits, and it's pretty much a given that the reason you and the county took two hits is because of something you said on the night of January the 8th.
Well, you know, I guess I didn't realize the extent of bigotry and hatred in this country. I just can't believe how pervasive it is in our society. And it has a really bad effect on everybody's life. And I just lost my cool, I guess, on the January the 8th and said some things about Arizona being a mecca for bigotry and hatred.
Didn't you call it also the tombstone of America? What was that?
I did. I said that Arizona is the tombstone of America because of our gun laws. And, you know, I might have said those things in anger at the moment, but I wouldn't change a word that I said, and what I found out is that while there are millions of people that really despised what I said and weren't afraid to send me emails and letters and phone calls, there are millions and millions of people who sent flowers and things from all over the world saying thank you for saying that. So there's a whole lot of good people in this world that really believe that our society needs a little more civility.
Sheriff Paul Babu of Pinal County issued a news release declaring that his county, Pinal County, is the number one pass-through county in all of America for drugs and human trafficking. He's used that line many times. He testified before a U.S. Senate Committee on Homeland Security, I think it was last week, as he criticized the federal government for failing to secure the border. But, Sheriff, as you well know, the Arizona Republic pointed out Sunday, there's just one problem with Sheriff Babu's statement. There is no data to support the assertion.
Well, I think the data that's available would contradict the assertion.
That's right. There's nothing. The Republic looked at this, and they said that there's nothing that indicates that it is the number one pass-through county.
No, that's a fact. As a matter of fact, the Tucson sector of the Border Patrol, which goes from New Mexico up to Yuma County, is the corridor to the entire country when it comes to smuggling. For the last 2 years, each year they have seized over 1 million pounds of marijuana. And that's incredible. And a lot of it is through the corridor that comes through Nogales.
The Senators McCain and Kyle they put out a news release yesterday saying they've introduced an enhanced border security plan. It's a 10-point plan that at the heart of it is deploying no fewer than 6,000 National Guard troops to the United States-Mexico border. But funding has to be an issue when you start talking about this long list of things.
Well, it is a funding. And not only that, there are several other issues that arise when you're talking about this. But first of all, before we are able to secure that border, and I'll be the first to admit that it is not secure. Will it ever be secure? Probably not in my lifetime. But all the experts, the credible experts in the world that look at border security come to the first conclusion, and that's you're not going to have a secure border until you have some reform in the immigration system. They all say that. Well, is there something in there that talks about border reform?
I don't see anything on that 10-point plan about that.
No, and as a matter of fact, one of those individuals used to be a leader in supporting immigration reform, and not anymore.
Sheriff, we've got about 2 minutes to go. You know, getting back to guns, President Shelton of the U of A sent a letter urging Governor Brewer, please veto Senate Bill 1467, and I know you feel very strongly about this. That would allow folks to conceal carry of firearms on college campuses in the state.
Boy, I run out of adjectives to describe how I really feel about that. You know, we ought to let the university administrators run their universities instead of some. I'm not going to go there because I'll get a lot of angry phone calls. But what they're doing is not in the interest of public safety. It may be in the interest of the National Rifle Association and the gun manufacturers of America. But it's certainly not of interest in public safety. What is going to happen when hundreds of people come on the campus with weapons? What are they going to do when it's time to go into the classroom? Go put them on their bicycles? Go put them in their cars? Or are we going to have to build lockers for them so they can do that?
It's very disturbing, isn't it?
Well, once a gunshot is fired in a crowd, and other weapons are there, they're going to come out, and we're going to have a gunfight at the OK Corral.
Mm. Sheriff, we're going to wrap this up. Congratulations on your event that's coming up Saturday, and I know you would like the public to come out to this event at the Tucson Convention Center if they have an opportunity to honor these fine people in their colleagues of yours.
Yeah, that's a fact. There's no way we can say adequately thank you to these people because what they accomplished, what they did, and how they functioned under some very challenging, problematic circumstances just points out how good this community is, how it came together, and today is a day that we're all going to say thank you, and it would be nice to fill the place up.
Okay, Sheriff Clarence Stupnik, thank you for being on the program, and we will see you certainly down the road very soon. Thanks a lot. It's about 20 minutes now past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. David Levy will be with us talking about the upcoming shuttle launch. That's next.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastropub.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
It's 23 minutes now past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. The Space Shuttle launch is now just a few weeks away with Commander Mark Kelly at the controls, and hopefully Commander Kelly's wife, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, will be given a medical clearance to attend the launch. We talk about that and more now with Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science. Dr. Levy is the former science editor of Parade magazine. He now heads up, and he is the founder, along with his lovely wife, Wendy, of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. David, how are you doing?
Well, thank you, Bill, and you got it right. She is my lovely wife.
You got your taxes ready? I was just talking with Sheriff Dupnik. We were talking about tomorrow being the deadline, but Team Buckmaster corrects me and says that the IRS has extended this until Monday, April the 18th.
Yes, we have our taxes in and our refund, and we've had them in for some time. That's one of the things that my wife does so well. We've had them in some time now.
One of the many things. She also keeps your calendar in order,
my calendar together, and really, we're a very good team together. Yeah,
David, space shuttles to be retired this year. Just two more missions to go. Of course, the big one that we're all focusing on here in Southern Arizona is coming up in a couple of weeks. We're hoping that Gabby Giffords will be there to watch as her husband blasts off into space. Some of your thoughts on the shuttle mission?
Well, this one's a very special one. I think that Mark Kelly is going to be the commander of it, and that Gabby is going to hopefully will be there, but I think the presence of the Congresswoman actually signifies the importance of the whole program. It's not just something to see that we're saying farewell to. It is an ongoing program. My friend Tom Beck and I, while we were observing this morning, actually saw the space station fly overhead. I was just thinking just a couple of weeks now till Endeavour joins it with some final straws, final bolts and things to hold the station together. Something that the U.S. government decided to do years ago. I remember that President Reagan, in a speech that he gave after the Challenger disaster, insisted that we were going to build a space station, and it's something that we have done. Kennedy got us to the moon, and NASA, with the help of what Reagan said, got us to the space station. And so we're really looking forward to a very exciting mission coming up.
Dr. David Levy is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dr. Levy is the Buckmaster Show contributor on science. Your big event for Sharing the Sky Foundation is coming up. This is always fun, Sharing the Sky Star Party. I think this year it's May 7th, is that correct?
Yes, our star night is May the 7th coming up. And, you know, as Shakespeare says, there are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of your philosophy. And Robert Browning says, ah, but a man's reach should exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for? And we want to find out what a heaven is for on the 7th of May. We will have upwards of 40 telescopes set up on the University of Arizona Mall, beginning at 3 o'clock and stretching all the way until 10 at night. First, we're going to look at the sun, which is the closest, brightest star of all for us, and then at night we'll be looking at Saturn, the moon, and other beautiful objects in the sky. I will be giving a planetarium presentation during the evening on the evening sky, and we will also be awarding two telescopes in a raffle that we're going to do, hopefully as a result of donations that people will be giving to help astronomy spread throughout the Tucson.
So if you don't have a telescope, no problem. There'll be plenty of ways to view the night sky.
Absolutely.
Correct?
All we need is you. It's going to be a lot of fun. May the 7th from 3 to 10.
Well, I've enjoyed myself in the past out there, and you get a great view. And you always pick the night sky that is quite dark for that time of the month, correct?
Yeah, we do. It's always dark and beautiful from Tucson.
Tell me about, and this is a question that we often get, David, about folks who want a telescope for young people, kind of a beginning telescope. I usually get a couple of questions every month that I, as you know, I refer to you, and you're kind enough to answer. Could you address that to our listeners?
Yeah, there's actually a very nice, inexpensive telescope that sells for about $50. It's called the Celestron First Scope. And it is a reflecting telescope with a mirror and reflects starlight, and just the way Isaac Newton's telescope did almost 400 years ago. And it's a beautiful telescope, and it can be bought in Tucson very cheaply for well under $100, actually just a little over $50.
That's an excellent deal. David, there's just a few seconds left here before we have to take a hard break. Night sky, early morning sky, what should we be looking for this time of year?
Well, we look at Venus coming up in the early morning before dawn. We also have the Milky Way shining, if you can get far enough away from city lights, shining brightly in the sky just before dawn. But the key of the sky right now is the planet Saturn with its exquisite rings. And that is what we will be highlighting at our star party on May the 7th. And this is why we hope that many people in Tucson and in Arizona will come and help us celebrate the night sky on May the 7th to look at Saturn and see those wonderful rings.
David Levy, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too, Bill.
Thanks.
Got something on your mind?
The time has come for all of us to speak out.
Call in and let us know.
Now start talking.
Talk about how you feel.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Ford is recalling almost 1.2 million full-size pickups because of an airbag problem. CNN Money's Peter Valdez de Pena says the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration announced a smaller recall in February.
The airbags went off right after the truck was started, so it's not like you're driving the truck and the airbag suddenly goes off and hits you in the face. Also, Ford thought it's not happening that often. But NHTSA clearly felt that it was happening more often than Ford was letting on.
The man in charge of operating the FAA's air traffic control system quit today after another report of a controller falling asleep on the job. The partisan bickering is on full display on Capitol Hill today. Republicans and Democrats are arguing over the budget-cutting bill that should come up for a vote later today. Donald Trump's expected to make the big announcement about running for president on the season finale of Celebrity Apprentice. The show airs on May 15th. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Hey there, my name's Eric, and I work at Lowe's. Hurry into Lowe's and take part in our exclusive Build It event. Now's your chance to save big on building materials, tools, windows, and doors. Like 20% off special order Pella windows and doors for your home. Head to Lowe's today and start saving during the Build It event. Lowe's, let's build something together. Offer valid 4/13/11 to 4/27/11. Excludes Pella 750 series products. Applies to product only. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Valid in U.S. only.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 30 projects under construction, including work at La Cañada Drive and the First Avenue bus pullouts, the Regional Transportation Authority is delivering our promise to you already. RTA has completed 174 projects, including 5 major roadways, and launched transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars are creating jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer. Please be careful of workers in those areas and obey all traffic signs. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Thirty-five minutes now past the hour on the Buckmaster Show, and our Buckmaster Show live line 529-3508, 529-3508. University of Arizona is establishing a presence in downtown Tucson, and many are saying that it is a huge boost in the efforts to bring the central core of central Tucson back to life. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Jan Cervelli, Dean of the UA College of Architecture and Landscape Architecture, known as CALA. Which initiated and largely drove the process of exploring ways to establish the UA presence in downtown Tucson, and was really a key in developing the partnerships between the UA and Pima County. Dean Cervelli, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's a real pleasure and honor to be here. Good morning, congratulations on your show. I'm a big fan.
Thank you very much, Dean. Tell me about how this moved along, utilizing the historic Roy Place building for a new center that would be dedicated to research, outreach, and teaching in downtown Tucson.
Yes, well, it started about 2.5 years ago when I arrived here as part of my role as dean. All good architecture programs have a presence in an urban center. That's where we learn how to do good urban design. And so in conversations with community leaders like Larry Hecker and Lisa Lavallo and Chuck Huckleberry, I expressed the interest of the college in establishing a downtown center. And boy, the enthusiasm and the reception could not have been more enthusiastic. So Chuck Huckleberry quickly offered this fabulous building that was scheduled to be renovated, and they've done a fabulous job.
Give us the location of this building. Where are we talking
about? It's right on the corner of Stone and Pennington. Most people know it as the old Walgreens building where, you know, they went down and shopped, and central location, the soda shop there. And so it's got a great history, both from the 1950s, but prior to that time, Roy Place, a well-known local architect, had his office there.
What will the center be used for? I mentioned research, outreach, and teaching. How will that work? Who will be selected to actually work in that building?
Well, we've looked very carefully at what programs really make sense downtown. We're not just throwing academic programs down there just because it's a good thing. And so if you look at downtown Tucson, it is basically a governmental center, a lot of policy making that goes on there. And so the complement of programs serve that population. So there'll be a Master of Public Administration degree. It's very strong, very well known, will be delivered there in the evenings. So again, serving the population of the agencies, both federal and state and county and city. We will have the Urban Design Studio from my college there, the Drochman Institute, our public service and outreach arm that will be working on urban design, affordable housing, infill development issues, and then the Master of Geographic Information Technology. That's that very powerful mapping capacity through software, and then outreach offices of the College of Social and Behavioral Sciences. So it's a really terrific combination of degrees that can do interdisciplinary work from the policy side all the way to the urban design, the physical design, the mapping, where we can really help Tucson and Southern Arizona decide how it can realize a sustainable future.
Jan Cervelli is with us. She is the dean of the School of the University of Arizona College of Architecture, and I shouldn't neglect it, but we sometimes neglect landscape architecture. It's very important. 529-3508. You know, the people I talk to about bringing downtown back to life say that getting the U of A involved is really a key. With what you're doing there at the Roy Place building and then student housing downtown, it's really going to add a new element to bringing the whole thing back to life, isn't it?
Absolutely. And being a student of urban revitalization, I've been involved in efforts like this in a number of other communities. And the key essential to bringing downtowns back to life is bringing young people there. Whether you're bringing them there for entertainment, educational purposes, morphing that into they're living there, so there's a 24-hour presence, that really brings them back to life, stimulates business. The next phase that generally happens after that are empty nesters, the baby boom generation that wants to live in a vibrant urban core area like that. And we're seeing a lot of studies in real estate development where There's a demand and there's a lack of supply. And so I think that's the next phase that we're going to see after the student population grows. But what you're seeing at the University of Arizona is a decision to begin to expand its presence. And, you know, we're not exactly landlocked, but we're running out of room as a campus. And so to begin to shift the development of the university toward the downtown. So the U of A downtown and the Roy Place building is the first phase. Provost Meredith Hay has asked Bob Smith and I to begin to look at what are some of the other opportunities for growth of academic programs downtown, in addition to the student housing.
You've looked at a lot of urban design in cities across the country. Is this somewhat of a, what we're seeing, a hybrid in downtown Tucson, or are we following anywhere that you have seen other cities?
I think what you're seeing in urban revitalization today is public-private partnerships. And you're finding where it's small incremental projects, the large master planning, and I'm not going to comment on Rio Nuevo. I wasn't here, so right. I really am not able to do that. But the large, very futuristic master plans are not being embraced as much as the smaller incremental public and private partnership projects. You test things out, they're sustainable. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing in downtown Tucson today.
I think downtown Tucson is coming back to life because of the small businesses. With what we're seeing with the restaurants, it's really leading the way. And I think you're on to something there, that the grandiose projects, when Rio Nuevo, in the initial stages, we all have heard of the bridge to nowhere and some of these other, there was talk of an aquarium. But maybe it really boils down to a grassroots effort and starting to get the small business people involved. And then this energy is sort of created, mm-hmm. and that's what we're mm-hmm. seeing now.
Mm-hmm. And I think what we'll begin to see, too, in Tucson in the not-too-distant future is infill development around first-ring suburb areas. That's what other communities are beginning to see. There is a demand for people to move into those first-ring suburbs, not necessarily to buy houses so far out. When you're talking about $4 to $5 a gallon in gas, drive till you qualify concept is going to reverse itself. And so we're going to see a need for how do we expedite retrofit and retrofill in, again, those first-ring suburbs. How can the city, in terms of its planning, provide the incentives, the infrastructure, and the direction on how to accomplish that infill development?
We do want to have you back on several occasions, talk about some of the initiatives you have going. Green is certainly the color that's in right now, and you have many projects, don't you, going on right now?
Yes, we do. One particular exciting initiative we're working on is a new bachelor's degree we're hoping to have approved by the university next year, and it's a 4-year liberal arts and sciences degree in sustainable built environments. And we're hoping to produce the CEOs of the future of green companies, of the General Electrics and the Motorola. So in addition to having the designers and the planners, we want to create those individuals that are really directing the larger product manufacturing arenas around sustainability. So we're excited about that.
The architecture, your colleagues will be getting together with an open house. If folks want to drop by, 4 to 6 this afternoon. Give us the location and what are some of the things that folks would see over there.
Well, if you know that we're located right on Speedway, and I believe it's North Olive, right mm-hmm. across from the Eller Building,
right.
You can come in and see the students right now are at their maximum peak of working on projects toward the end of the semester. So you're going to see all kinds of drawings and models. You come down. We have the best materials lab in the country. So you'll see wood structures. They're building actually the bus shelters for the city of Tucson and Pima County. So any number of projects, you're going to see large-scale master planning for entire regions as well, all the way down to these bus shelters. So the scale of work is pretty amazing. And the excitement of the students right now, if you really want to know what it's like to be a student right in the midst of the intensity of it now, it's no better time. It's incredible.
It's a great time to be a student of architecture, especially with what's going on downtown. And congratulations as you lead the way in really establishing the University of Arizona's presence in downtown Tucson. Dean Jan Cervelli, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It's coming up now on 46 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Next up, we're going to talk baseball, AAA baseball, with the Tucson Padres general manager Mike Fader.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Tucson's Regional Transportation Authority uses your tax dollars to create jobs and make local travel faster and safer. Transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle and the completion of 5 major roadways are examples of how RTA is delivering on our promises to you. With 174 projects completed and 30 under construction, such as the First Avenue bus pullouts and La Cañada Drive, RTA wants to remind you to be careful of road workers and to obey all traffic signs. RTA, delivering our promises to you.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson community. Our thrift shop donations and sales provide more than half of needed funding, which goes to programs like Operation School Bell. Since its inception, Operation School Bell has provided clothing and school supplies for more than 38,000 children. But we need your help. Donate an item or a financial gift. Shop our thrift store or volunteer. For more information on how you can make a difference, visit AssistanceLeagueTucson.org.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Coming up now in 51 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show, Triple A Baseball returning to Tucson tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, when the Tucson Padres host the Salt Lake City Bees at Keno Stadium. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Mike Fader. Mr. Fader is the Vice President and General Manager of the Tucson Padres Baseball Organization. Mike, how are you doing today?
Bill, how are you? Sorry I didn't make it by the studio.
Well, come on in whenever you get a chance. I know you were on your way, but we had to move forward. Tell me about how you're approaching this season opener and you as the GM. How are you structuring this?
Well, the structure's easy. We're just getting ready to play a baseball game. We've had a lot of practice doing it. I've run the club for 12 years. But I don't want to take anything away from the fact that this is the first game ever in the history of the Tucson Padres at home. So we've just got a lot of things. What you do in getting ready for a season is sometimes overwhelming. I mean, there's so many little things, getting the merchandise, the food, putting the outfield signs up, making sure the field's in good shape, one after another after another. I mean, we really have nothing to do with the game itself, the team. The San Diego Padres make all those decisions. But what we do is we're responsible for the entire business operation. So tomorrow's pregame ceremonies, for example, we're going to have something to honor all four people who tackled the shooter on January 8th. In my mind, those are real heroes. Daniel Hernandez will be there as well. We're going to have EMS. We're going to have UMC doctors and nurses, people like that. That's all part of our planning, and we want the community to really say thank you to these people that most likely saved a lot of lives and made what was a terrible, tragic situation probably not as bad as it could have been.
I can't think of a better way to open the Padres season than what you have planned for tomorrow. Give us an overview. Folks are still getting the word about the Padres. Who are they? Why do we have AAA baseball now back in Tucson? Quick overview.
No problem. The Tucson Padres are the AAA club of the San Diego Padres. We are the best team that they've got. How did we get them? Well, the Portland Ball Club decided that they no longer were going to have AAA baseball, and the San Diego Padres had to come up with a new city. The city they chose was Tucson. So most likely we have the team for 2 years. I would say that's 98% positive. We'll have this year and next season, and possibly more, because in my mind, Escondido is far from a done deal, and that's where they're planning on being. So right now we have to just see how it's going to all work out and make decisions. But if we do a great job, I think Tucson's got a chance to make this long-term, not only with the San Diego Padres, but possibly another team in the Pacific Coast League.
Okay, and we're now going to transition from Mike Fader on his cell, which gave us pretty good reception, but I do prefer sitting across from Mike.
Did you hear that call coming into me, by the way?
Mike is now with us in studio, and he's got on his Tucson Padres shirt. Looks great.
Thank you.
Mike, you and I both grew up in Chicago, Cub fans. I mean, my dad took me to Wrigley Field.
As did mine.
I sat there in the front row and the bleachers, and we'd always get there really early. And the excitement around a ball game, and this time of year in Chicago, it could be, who knows, snowing, but whatever for the opener.
I sat in those games, too.
Yeah, and there's an excitement that needs to be built up, and this is part of your job. I mean, baseball's changed a lot from when we were growing up. Now to get fans expect not just a game, there's a whole entertainment venue. And what do you have planned?
Well, minor league baseball, that's what minor league baseball is all about. We it's just not a baseball game. I mean, it's got to be what's going to bring a child out and their family out. You know, what's going to bring a senior citizen out? The only way you do that is to treat them like kings and queens, put on a great show, have some fun things going on, play good music, and knowing that you're always going to have a great baseball game going on. That's what you do in minor league baseball. Tomorrow night or Saturday night, we have fireworks. Sunday, we're honoring the military, which we're going to do every Sunday. Wednesday, dollar hot dogs. Thursday, dollar beer. That's the gimmicks. I mean, we're looking at bringing in mini Kiss. If you saw the Dr. Purple commercial, the little people that dress as Kiss. I'm not sure the political way to say that anymore, but we're going to hopefully have them as a band. The San Diego Chickens coming June 10th. That's what we talk about. I mean, I sometimes people say, well, talk about the baseball. We'll talk about the baseball plenty. TucsonPadres.com, you'll see all the baseball you want. Everything's on there. We're going to keep people very, very informed.
Is there a Padres-like mascot?
There is. Kino Bambino. He's the long-lost brother of the San Diego Padres swinging friar mascot. He contacted me out of a cave, and we found about. But it's the identical mascot that the Padres have. But our local fans voted, and he's now called the Kino Bambino.
I was looking through the Star. Really had a nice piece,
four pages.
Yeah, a nice profile of you and how you really can't turn your mind off once you wake up at 5 a.m.
Today was 3:30, but that's right.
Thinking of promos and all. I'm kind of the same way. When my mind starts racing, right. Sleep's in the back burner. I was looking at the Pacific Coast League. It's an interesting league. You've got a lot of diversity. Cub fans can follow maybe. The Iowa Cubs out of Des Moines.
They're not coming here. Already Cub fans have asked me that.
Oh, really?
We either go there or they come here because
I'm looking at the schedule right now. Yeah, right. So that is, in a way, a visit to Des Moines. But, I mean, these are not like little bitty cities. You've got Las Vegas involved.
Nashville.
And
Memphis.
I know Albuquerque, the Isotopes, they have a cult following right. Over there, the huge following.
Triple-A baseball special. I mean, when I was on with you last time, we talked about the fact that we have a chance to get something back in this community. You know, we lost Triple-A baseball. It's great baseball. It's one step under the major leagues. 15 guys on our team have played in the major leagues. Well, we know the fans are going to enjoy that, but it's solely up to us. If we don't do a good job, AAA might be gone forever. We hope the fans come out, but we'll give them a reason to come out. And if we do that, but you look at the league, you know, you said it. As far east as Nashville.
Yeah.
As far north as Tacoma.
Yeah, and some of these are major league cities because, I mean, Oklahoma City has an NBA franchise. Well, Nashville has a hockey franchise.
Tacoma, Seattle.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not like you're talking about lower Visalia, California, where I actually spent a little time early in my career, the Visalia Oaks, I think they were called, of the California League. I mean, it's really a step below the big show. And these guys, really, there's pressure on them who want to go back to the majors.
Well, and that's why, quite honestly, as a general manager of a minor league club, I don't really get involved heavily in the talking of names. Because once you build up that player, he's going to the big leagues. But that's good, though. I mean, Anthony Rizzo, remember that name. He's our first baseman. He's got a tremendous future in Major League Baseball. We might get him for this year, and that might be his only time ever in the minor leagues after this year. But we want players to go to the big leagues. That's why they're here, because we know we're going to get somebody good in their place.
Only a few seconds left. It's Kino, not High Corbett.
Oh,
right.
For Kino the Stadium. Yeah, Kino. We're playing at High Corbett. Did I say High Corbett?
No. For people sometimes think of.
Right.
April
30th, we're at High Corbett.
You are.
For a roll back the clock night. The mariachi festival is going on at the ballpark.
Cool.
But the slogan we're using, it's closer than you think. There's a major misconception that it's in the middle of nowhere. Well, today's a big day in that neighborhood. Costco's opening.
All right. I like the color scheme, too.
Thank you.
You've got navy and gray, charcoal. Mike Fader, thank you for being with us. Good luck. We'll talk as this season goes along, okay?
That'd be great.
Thanks a lot. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Enjoyed it. We'll have another show for you tomorrow. It'll be our Friday roundtable. Stay with us.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
This is a free exchange of ideas.
AM 1330, KJLL.
The American people deserve no less.
South Tucson.